Live, local, FM talk. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley. 92.3 FM talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. And we have a guest. By the way, our phone number, 775-884-9910. As long as David Fritchie is here from Mission Critical Partners, the topic is cybersecurity. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
Fritchie, right? I got that right?
That is correct.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, I'm so glad he came in because I just got this letter yesterday, another one, about another fraud alert because there was a hack at some company that I have an account in. What do you do? I mean, you feel so helpless. And the thing is, there are more newer viruses coming out every other week. I mean, do we have a new computer virus that's going around like right now? And what's the latest variation of these terrible things?
Well, John, there's a new virus every second of every day. I'll give you an example. I ran a cybersecurity company for the last 15 years, primarily dealing with the cybersecurity for public safety agencies, for law enforcement, and for counterterrorism around the world. And our systems that we use to serve these agencies were hacked literally every 10 times every second. So it amounted to millions of hacks being automatically generated against our system, every day. And so those are the types of things, once they find a vulnerability, okay, that becomes a new virus, right? They find a vulnerability by hacking every system in the world every 10 times every second. You're going to find something at some point that they will then attach to. And as soon as they are able to get in, you know, they could be in your system for years and you wouldn't even know it. And eventually they'll develop something that may be, again, considered a new virus or a new name. But again, viruses can be automated. You know, essentially, these attacks are automated. It's not like somebody sitting here typing on a keyboard 10 times every second, hit my system. These are programs they've written to automatically hit your systems and then obviously find those vulnerabilities and then take advantage of whatever is open at that point.
Are these viruses just alterations of like old viruses where they just change the code a little bit? Or are some of these viruses like totally different animals?
Well, I would say yes to both of them. They're going to be using a core set of code that's going to be automated and redundant, right? It's going to keep hitting a certain port on your computer or your cloud system, whatever it may be. And they're going to have essentially the same code. But once they find an opening, then they're going to have to write something specific to that opening. Some of the biggest hacks in the world were very specific vulnerabilities to certain types of software that were, had to be constructed at that point to take care of those.
You already lost me.
yeah, I know. I know, we're talking ports and cyber, right.
Well, so what, David, if a new virus comes out, how does all that protection that I paid for, the Norton and all that, are they instantly outdated when this new virus comes out? I would think that Norton and these companies probably patterned their defense over what has been done in the past, but if these are new viruses, how do they protect you?
That's a really interesting perspective there, John, because you're exactly right. Norton, all the different antivirus programs are playing defense. And by playing defense, you're responding to the offense, right? I mean, you and I probably played sports. I played sports, right? Defense is responding to what the offense means. You're a step behind every time. Now, it's as close as you can get with a company like Norton because they are global. They have a lot of intel, and they hopefully get to it before your system does. But they're always playing defense. And it is actually one of my, you know, I don't know if a complaint is the right wrong word, but I think there is a side of this where some of these companies need to be authorized to play offense, right? Can they keep ahead of some of these players that we know a lot of times who they are? Can you play offense? Well, you know, if they're a foreign country, it becomes a national security concern. It becomes things like, are you hacking them instead of them hacking you? Well, you know, to me, there's a place for offense. It's an interesting perspective.
You know how I got hacked last year? I actually was reading alarming news reports of these viruses, so I went on Google looking for a really good virus defense, and apparently I picked some company that was based, I don't know, in Russia or somewhere, and they hacked me. I mean, they looked so legit, David, that, I thought, oh, this is great. Look at this, man, and it doesn't cost me anything. And suddenly I was getting pop-ups like crazy. Oh, that's funny, right?
I don't want to get too nerdy here, if you will, but
yeah.
It's obviously easy to look good on the internet, to have all the references in the world, to quote that your company is listed in Forbes or whatever we think is a gold standard stamp. And whether it's real or not, sometimes those companies are duped. And, you know, it's getting worse and worse, John, that unfortunately you can't trust, you just can't trust your own eyes. You can't trust anything on the internet. We know that, right?
Yeah.
Really, it becomes down to, can you ask the right person or the reference, and or, you know, do you take the time to check the references? How would you know that? You're not a cybersecurity expert, right? So,
a headline I saw today. Check this out. Cybersecurity experts expect surge in AI-generated hacking attacks. It's kind of what you were just saying there about somebody is not there typing away and thinking up new code. Now the computers are automatically sending these things out without any human interaction?
Yeah, absolutely. Viruses are computer programs. The latest AI, which I'm astounded by, to tell you the truth, can write its own programs. And then it can improve those programs. Now, I just downloaded a couple weeks ago something called Baby AI. It's an interesting program. What is Baby AI? Baby AI is really, its job is to write programs that call other programs. So I could be running 1,000 different programs that say, hey, I want to hack John's computer, okay? And we tried once and it failed. And I tried another time and it failed. Maybe it's going to take 10,000 times till I get through. But with Baby AI, I could spawn 10,000 different programs to hit your computer all at once. That's the kind of thing that you're up against now, where you've got AI doing these things for you and improving on its results every time it does it. That's scary. It's amazing technology.
How did you get into this in the first place? What? Well, I mean, back in the day, this is a totally new thing.
Exactly.
What led you into this examining code and fighting viruses type of work?
Well, my career really started at NASA. I worked at NASA in most of the projects you've seen, like the movie Star Trek, the original Star Trek movie, yeah, with Voyager, that satellite. I worked on that satellite. I managed the data for those satellites at NASA. And one of the things that I found fun, because again, I was a young 20-something person at NASA, I found fun hacking. Hacking was fun, so I would go and I would get made friends with the security guy there at NASA. And he says, my system's impenetrable. You can never get in. Well, that was a challenge to me. Okay, great. So I would break into his system, and I'd leave him a little note that he'd find letter, and he'd grumpy, come over, don't do that again. I'm like, okay. Well, I did that 4 or 5 times, and eventually my supervisor, a great lady, she came up and says, don't do that again, wink, wink, thank you. But it was those types of things that you find, that people who enjoy technology enjoy a challenge. I find these things to be very challenging and interesting, and you know, it's like my creative outlet. You know, these are my paintings, my programs, you know, things like that.
I did read that these companies like Fortinet and CrowdStrike and all these cybersecurity companies actually hire hackers.
Right.
And their job, the hacker's job, an employee, their job is to bust the system.
There's actually rewards out there. There are companies, large companies, that will pay you to break into their system legitimately. And sometimes it's handsome, you know, you get $10,000, $20,000, whatever it may be, a reward to break into their system because they want to know they want to control it, obviously.
This is a career?
Absolutely. Yeah, they have white hat hackers, they have black hat hackers. There's a conference in Vegas every year that is huge about hacking.
All right, well, we're going to scare some folks some more when we come back. The latest viruses, what you can do to protect yourself, you got to know this, folks. And Gmail users, Google just came out with a great free thing for you. So we're going to ask David about that. So, David, stick around. David is with Mission Critical Partners. What do you guys do there?
Mission Critical Partners is primarily working with government agencies. We'd have a cybersecurity arm of our company. We also do, I'm in the consulting division, so we work with like the state of Nevada, public safety, the local DMVs to essentially help them do better with their projects.
God bless you. All right. Phone number, folks, 775-884-9910. Your cybersecurity questions for one more segment with David Fritchie, who's here with us on Live and Local every Saturday, 9 to noon at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk Radio, 99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. We're taking calls in the order they come in at 775-884-9910. Glad you're with us here at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. I'm John Potter, special guest for one more segment, David Fritchie from Mission Critical Partners. The topic is the threat of cybersecurity. Just saw this in the news, David, that all Gmail users, gosh, everybody I know is on Gmail, can now look forward to a previously subscription-only feature called Dark Web Scan Report, where it scours the dark web, which I don't know anything about, but I do know, it does this for you free and then lets you know if your password is there. I have the one good cybersecurity company that I pay for right now, and they come out with these reports saying, hey, your phone number is on the dark web, and hey, your password is on four different things on the dark web, so I go in and change them. But there they are on the dark web. Yep. What is the dark web? I have an idea, but I'm afraid to even look at the dark web because it sounds like a hellhole of cybercrime.
Absolutely, it is, John. And I think those services, first of all, you mentioned like Gmail service for the passwords and things like that, very valuable because they are common hacks for programs to go through and look at common passwords to get rid of, to hack. So you should change your passwords if it does come up, and those are great services from Google. The dark web, one of the things you're mentioning on Gmail is there is a marketplace, many marketplaces, for stolen information. If somebody steals your credit cards, it goes on the dark web. There is a purchaser and a buyer there. They would exchange Bitcoin or whatever it may be to purchase your credit cards that were stolen.
So there's like,
that.
Yeah, from what I understand, there are like classified ads on the dark web. Hey, 2,000 addresses and passwords.
Yep.
Such and such, and they sell them.
They absolutely do, and they might get a penny a piece, whatever, but if they got, 100,000 of them, it adds up and things like that. And then they can resell them to as many people as they want.
So that's why they hack companies like Kohl's or Target was hit to get this huge data log of addresses and passwords.
Yep.
So they can sell them then on the dark web.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's where you're going to have an anonymous seller and an anonymous buyer to exchange, some type of cryptocurrency that they consider, safe. And, that's where all the information is done. And so, yes, the dark web, by the way, is something that was invented by the U.S. government. This was a way of exchanging information from the U.S. government. It's actually the U.S. Navy, I believe. I have had lunch with one of the founders of the dark web, and their purposes were legitimate at the time. They needed a way to exchange information secretly and anonymously as well from the military. And yet that has become now a way of hiding things, a way of hiding, horrible things, just the most horrible things you can think of for humanity would be potentially available through the dark web, like these things we're talking about.
So what, did the U.S. government lose control of it?
It was designed to lose control of it. It was designed to be decentralized. And when you talk about decentralized, that means there is no control. These are all somebody's these are thousands of computers that are people's that we don't know around the world that are talking to each other.
I hear the parallels right now between this and AI.
Yeah.
That this is something you lose control over because they outsmart us humans. My Roomba vacuum cleaner beat me to a piece of popcorn on the floor last night. So, David, the war against machines is officially begun right there. Let me ask you this. Is this the hacks, the dark, is this something that will never go away? I have a feeling it will never go away, the threat of being hacked.
You know, put this in perspective, if I can, just for a minute, John. Is there any new technology that has ever started and gone away? I would submit to you that as far as the invention of the printing press, that technology was unstoppable at that point. The invention of the radio and television, telegraph, all of that was unstoppable at that point. That each one of these new transformative technologies that transformed entire civilizations, our entire planet, was transformed by, you know, the mainframe computer, personal computers, you know, cell phone devices. Can we ever get rid of these things? I wish. But it's never going away. And now AI is coming to the forefront. And that is, I think, going to transform our civilization like nothing else has in the past. Can we stop it? I would say, based on history, no.
Once somebody programs some AI thing to generate viruses, how do you stop it?
Exactly.
That's the nightmare right there.
Exactly. There, what's really interesting about the AI thing to me is even last week, there's a gentleman called the Godfather of AI. He quit Google on May 4th. Mm-hmm. His first response to the world was, we need to take control. We need to get control of AI, or it's going to take control of us. And those words coming from a man like that, that is like, I'm one of the inventors of this, is we should really listen to, because like your Roomba robot, which is a funny example there, John, is, you know, once they continue on and we lose control, you know, there's no way to regain control without, you know, pulling the plug. And how do you do that when, like the dark web, these things can be decentralized and you don't necessarily know where they live?
All right. You're talking about the guy who worked at Google and is now sorry that he ever had a hand in developing AI.
Yeah, I don't know if he was sorry he had a hand in it, but he was saying we need to get control of it, and we need to set regulations. And this is something Elon Musk has been saying for like 10 years, and most people are not listening. It's like, yeah, right, it's coming. It's going to really get away from us. Yeah, you've watched too many Terminator movies, right? And every movie we've ever watched about AI is always about the robot taking over, right? But losing control, the robot getting rid of the infestation, which is the humans, right? So, you know, that's the fear that's coming. And with these smart people, I'm thinking we need to really pay attention, because like you're saying with the viruses, that's one aspect of it. They're very, very smart, and they will find a way to be better hackers than we are.
Look at 2001, A Space Odyssey. That was the first introduction of AI to us.
And
that
2001 was Space Oddity.
Odyssey,
what,
yeah.
You're talking about HAL?
Yep, HAL. That was the first, I think, the first movie or TV show we had that introduced AI.
Correct. Yeah, no, it was a great movie. And it was, again, one of these movies where AI takes over. That's the common theme, right? And now it's becoming a reality. I think in the next, again, it's happening right now. But in the next few years, it's exponentially going to grow, that threat.
There's a big parallel between this AI worries and the original atomic bomb. You know, this can do a wonderful thing, but we can't lose control of it.
Absolutely. That's
the same fears that it reminds me of. Anything folks can do right now before they get hit by a hack attack?
You know, a lot of that is, as much as you want to think it's a technology solution, yes, you should have an antivirus. Microsoft antivirus is good. You know, you have other versions of that. And yet most of it is what you do personally that is the main vulnerability. It is, like you just mentioned, changing your password to something that's not common. It's a pain in the butt. I understand that you've got to change your password. Okay, I hate that too. It's also watching, you know, especially as a company, what your employees are clicking on, because email is the lowest common denominator. They are counting on being able to spoof you to believing something that is real that's not real. You need to do this. You know, you get these emails that will say, hey, your boss is in a hurry. They need you to take the money down to the bank and make a deposit. And I mean, they confuse people that actually believe these emails and they do stupid things. That's the main vulnerability. Then the way you can protect yourself, really watch what you're clicking on.
And right. They click a link in that email as, you know what? I've read everything about this kind of stuff and everything. And I consider myself a smart guy. Don't laugh. But I'll get emails where I say, did this really come from Amazon? I think it did. And even, they say to look at the original address that sent you the email, they're even kind of spoofing those now, because the email it was sent from, by the way, it wasn't not Amazon, but the email they sent it from said something, something Amazon.com. Right.
Now, John, one of the things that happens there too is if you, they give you a link in there to click, if you just hover over that link down in the bottom left-hand corner, it'll actually show you where it's going to take you to. If it's not an Amazon website, then you don't click on it.
Yes, that's okay. I'll buy that. But David, aren't they going to spoof those addresses too?
The hard part, and you're exactly right. I don't know the name of the person on the phone there. I'm sorry, I apologize.
That's Craig.
Hey, Craig, you're exactly right. That's one of the most important things, is just hovering over those links, finding out where it's coming from and where you're going to. Challenges, sometimes those are marketing emails and marketing links that really don't say Amazon or whatever the company name is. They might be to the marketing company that needs to record your response before it goes to the actual link. So the answer there would be, hey, just don't click on it if you're not sure. For
other
sure.
Other words, it's spam.
It could be, yes.
Well, it's been eye-opening for sure. You know what's heartbreaking about this is the internet could be such a powerful and amazing force for good. But we have villains who are taking this wonderful thing that could basically save people and corrupt it and use it for evil. And it's so disheartening to realize that. And they're never going to stop. And so this is something that will never go away. Well, all right. Mission Critical Partners, can people, you deal with governments and things.
Correct, so. Yes.
But so it's awesome that you came here to give the free advice and story behind things like the dark web and such. David Fritchie, any last words?
Great. No, it's been a pleasure, John. Thank you much for having me, and you know, happy to talk about this subject anytime. Thank you.
You're awesome. Do this. Thank you so much, David. We'll be back. We're going to break for Fox News right now. It's live and local. The name of the show is called The Weekend. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Younger, smarter, better. FM Talk, KKFT, FM 99.1 is FM Talk. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk, KKFT.
Morning, morning. Welcome back, folks and friends. I'm John Potter, and Craig is running the show from Carson City. It's very oppressive here because Craig has all these cameras here where he watches my every move. And if I have to do something, there's no escape here. I can't do it in private. No, don't let your mind wander there. It was totally legal and proper. Trust me, just embarrassing. Anyway, I'm John Potter. We have from Fish, Friends in Service Helping. It's Jim Peckham. Hey, Jim, how's it going?
I'm doing good. I hope I didn't startle you with my top hat and my Buffalo Bills jersey and bright yellow flower jeans and cowboy boots.
You do dress up. I do appreciate that. You have this huge annual fundraiser of celebrity waiters.
That's right.
Folks, you can have celebrities serve you. It's coming up Saturday, May 20th. You've done this for 10 years. Obviously, very successful. These are celebrity waiters. It's a catered dinner, raffle, and silent auction. And you're already selling tickets right now for this, right?
Oh, it's just around the corner. So
May 20.
Absolutely. And it'll be at our new construction site. And again, the way I dressed, including this lightsaber here, what we do is we have the waiters come up with a theme. And so that they can throw a party at their table in amongst the party, because the whole event really is a fundraiser. So we want people to leave and say, that was fun, I'd do that again. And so whether you have your favorite sports team, if you want to come, we've had people come in togas. We've had, you know, people that are priests and nuns dressed up like that. A cast of Gilligan's Island. Some people, you know, diamonds and denim, all kinds of different options that come across.
I've done several of these celebrity waiter events before. And now the ones I'm familiar with are the celebrity waiters try to get the tips.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the object with yours, too.
Same thing.
And what we would do, because the celebrity waiter gets the most tips, or the top three win a great prize from the charity or a catered meal themselves. And so the celebrity waiters will think up a gimmick and do things like, oh, I'm going to dance on the table for you folks and do a little striptease if the table tips me $50.
Yeah. So what if the table tips over?
So, so some people will actually go around to other tables and play a harmonica poorly and say, I'm not leaving your table until you give me $20. So little magic shows, there's all kinds of creativity that goes in there. But again, it's all about fun, and fortunately for the waiters, it's a buffet. So there's really not as much waiting as there is just entertaining people as to
what a
fun
event
things are going on.
And the people coming to the dinner, they know this, and they bring all their $5 bills and everything, and they have the waiters do ridiculous things at their wish, and the waiters will do it just to raise all those tips. So who are the celebrity waiters this year?
So, I mean, right now we've got about 40 waiters. They're
40.
Yeah, when we try and get 50. We normally average close to 500 people in attendance. We've got people from politics, from media, from the medical field, some of the churches, different corporations and banks and different things, They like to try and outdo one another.
Speaking of outdo, what celebrities have really gone above and beyond and really put on the show that you've had in the past? You can name names here.
Yeah, no, there's tons of people. I mean, one of the hospitals, they all came dressed in the roaring 20s, and so very elegant table, hence the top hat. We had a manufacturing group that works on jet engines and different things that they all came in togas and had a little, Greek decor on their table. We get people come as hippies.
Which celebrity really came out of their shell at this event?
I think you'd have to go online to find that out. I don't kiss and tell, so. I invite the celebrities and whatever motivates them, and adult beverages are a part of the meal and part of the tickets that people
sound like something that you're not going to allow cameras and pictures of.
Well, we have media there all the time, so okay. there's typically cameras and and different hosts that you would recognize, and John, there is a spot for you if you're
Saturday,
leaning that way.
4:30. Okay, this is in Carson City.
And it's at our construction site, so it's just
I'm being honest with you. I have to check my calendar book. It's at home. No, really, that's my kind of thing, because I've done these before in the past. And I dressed up as a crazy doctor once and was examining people for laughs. And anyway, this is happening on the 20th. Okay, it's going to be in downtown Carson City.
It's at our construction site, so I say it's the event under a tent, because people will also be able to look at our student housing project that's going up, which supports the community colleges are doing a great job of trying to get people into new careers by having the...
This is the new place at North Carson?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. 1455 North Carson. You're building something there.
Right. Okay. So we've got student housing there and commercial building that... the student housing should be done in time when college starts. But again, TMCC, WNC, and some other training organizations are doing a great job of providing, helping people get certificates so that they can become IT people, like your last guest, mm-hmm. Be in nursing, a welder, CNC person, all kinds of, manufacturing, construction. So we need these jobs. There's a lack of affordable housing around. And there's a lack of skilled workforce. So we're trying to pull all that stuff together so that people can be successful.
You serve Carson City. I heard, speaking of affordable housing, somebody was telling me, I didn't check the numbers, They said housing is even more unaffordable in Carson City than it is in Reno. Do you think that's true?
I think Reno is starting to come down, but it's still above Carson City from what I've seen. And again, we're a regional player.
You don't
player.
Seem to have a whole lot of new housing developments there. That's why I was probably thinking that's probably true, yeah. That it's supply and demand in Carson City, and there's not much new there.
There's probably 15, 20 new developments going on that are in different stages. But again, we service the region. Mm-hmm. We don't try not to compete with other people. We don't compete with the other nonprofits for different government grants because, for the most part, we're just work with the local companies and corporations and individuals. Sure. So we get great support from them financially. And this is just one of those things that's more of a, as much as a thank you and a let's be silly.
I'm looking at pictures of, I guess, the past celebrity waiter dinners. Now, this event's outdoors, right?
Right.
Which is great. May 20th weather should be perfect for this. Looks like one picture here, looks like one of the celebrity waiters brought his easel, and he's doing drawings for...
Actually, that's Bob, and he does caricatures all day. He's not a waiter. He just is doing caricatures.
Extra entertainment.
That's right. Well, and he is quite the artist.
And so, what are the tons of great prizes? What things are you giving away there? Or silent auction?
Well, silent auction and raffle items.
Love both. Silent auctions.
So all kinds of gift certificates, opportunities for plays and meals and stays at casinos, ballpark, all the golf courses, a lot of the typical fare that you would see.
Sometimes
often you get
some
good jewelry and nice things like that.
Sometimes you see trips and things like that. You have that.
Well, good. it's a construction zone, so we ask that nobody trip. There are OSHA rules, so we're trying to avoid that.
All right, food.
No trips or falls.
Food, fun, ton of great prizes. You can bring a guest or a group of friends. The tickets start at under $100. They're on sale now at nvfish.com. And there's a little link on that homepage of yours, right?
Yep.
nvfish.com.
And there's one other thing that the fish does. Every year they do the food drive. They partner up with one of the car dealerships, and do the Thanksgiving turkey drop over there. Last time we were involved with it with Evans Broadcast Company, we were at Nissan in Carson City.
Yes,
and you still have that big that warehouse where you stock all the food.
Well,
right?
Yeah, we also Fish. Its formal name is Friends and Service Helping, but we. Also use that acronym to talk about our services. We provide food, instruction, shelter, and health care to people in need, and to help stabilize people and help them to have a more sustainable life. And so actually this weekend, today, the postal workers are collecting food. If you just put a bag of food out by your mailbox before he gets there, they will pick that up, and then most of the food down in Carson will come to the Fish organization. There's a number of organizations that take advantage of that up here in Reno. So after I leave here, I'll be down there sorting food, and that'll help us through the summer.
A lot of folks think you're a housing homeless shelter, you're a food bank, but yet you're building student housing. Yeah. Is this something new, and what's the need for student housing in Carson City?
Yeah, so again, it goes back to the fact that there's a lack of affordable housing, and our goal is not to make more affordable housing, but to make fewer people reliant on it. So in coordination with the educators, again, WNC, who has the Rhodes program, TMCC, they've got these certificate programs that if somebody wants a career, we're going to make it easier financially for them to pursue that career, but that's where their focus has to be. And so it'll be like a dormitory for the community colleges and some other training organizations, as opposed to what you'd normally see at college campuses at UNR. And again, we're a nonprofit. We don't need to make money on it. We just need to be able to cover our cost. And we've got opportunities for vouchers and different kinds of things to help people so that we can start filling a lot of these empty jobs in the region that have gone unfilled. So that is a little bit different for us. It's a whole nother tier of services that we provide, but we've got free medical clinic, free dental, all kinds of different
things. You know what I like
do.
About you guys is, and I did a couple of stories with you, you were one of the original nonprofits to say it's a hand up, not a handout.
Yes.
When will all the nonprofits understand that concept? Yeah. And when will government understand that concept to have the hand up, not the handout?
Yeah.
You're the codependent of, say, a homeless person. If you continue, you make it easier for them to live that lifestyle by the handout as opposed to the hand up to make them go from, say, homeless to minimum wage to from minimum wage to having a good career.
Yeah.
That's the progression right there. All right. Well, awesome event. Again, folks, nvfish.com. Buy your tickets. Jim, good to see you again.
Nice to be seen.
All right.
Appreciate it.
This is Live and Local. Name of the show is called The Weekend. I'm John Potter. Phone number 775-884-9910. We'll take our calls, your calls, next on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. John Potter here. Our phone number again is 775-884-9910. We have another guest coming up. You all know Jessica Schneider. And what's latest with junkies and everything else. There's a lot of everything else with Jessica. This weather is what we were fantasizing about during winter, isn't it? It is high 70s right now. It is perfection out there. And I am so psyched about the long string of days like this that are just ahead of us.
You don't have to worry about sliding on the ice on your bicycle.
No, I don't. I hit my head a few times. You probably can tell by the show.
At least you're wearing a helmet, John.
The second time I was. You know what? Jessica and I were just asking each other, when was the last time it rained? The only reason I remember that it was 2.5 weeks ago was that I did a very nice thing when it rained. And I have to tell you about all the nice things that I do. It rained on a Tuesday 2.5 weeks ago. I saw this old guy with a fishing pole. I mean, you see a lot of weird things now with people outside, but there's this guy with a fishing pole outside our house, and he's fishing in the puddle in front of our house. And this guy, he looked so cold. It was a cold day. And I went out and I told him, come on in for a drink and get warm. See, isn't that nice? So we're drinking our whiskeys. And I thought I'd humor him. And I said, your fishing pole on the street, how many have you caught today? He said, you're the seventh. Before we get into news, we only have 3 minutes, but a lot of folks don't know much about me and my beliefs. I'll tell you one thing. I know about the influence one teacher can have, because Mr. Wingate in fifth grade made a big change in my life, and all he did was take an interest, and how simple that really is, because I was a true dork in school. Even Mr. Wingate couldn't fix that. You know, I had classmates stealing my briefcase. This is before backpacks, and they would, you know, hide it in the bathroom.
Well, a briefcase in second grade, come on, John.
What, one second grade? The sad thing, this is high school. And how geeky was I? The other kids loved Bart Starr and the Beatles. And then in high school, all the kids loved Robert Plant and Jim Morrison. My hero, the man I admired most, was Hubert Humphrey. See, that always gets a laugh when I say that, but that's the God's honest truth. He was not hip, but nobody could convince him to doubt the goodness of people. And he believed that all Americans had this common decency deep down. He once said, it's not what they take away from you that counts. It's what you do with what you have left. And today that speaks to me because right here, here I am, 68 years old, and suddenly I was unemployed. And you know what I miss more than anything about Hubert Humphrey? I know a silly person to talk about here, was his just constant optimism that this country was such a wonderful experience living here. And the optimism and the smile that he showed was a big contrast to all that was going on with the Vietnam War protesters and everything like that. Now I get up, I look outside, and I don't know what it is. It seems like every other day our American flag is at half mast. It was half mast yesterday. I have no idea why, but it's like constant, you know, bringing us down about how sad and how bad this country has turned to. It's a message from the media in a lot of ways. Don't believe it. This is still the greatest country in the world. And so enough said. We have Jessica Schneider from Junkies coming up next. This is Live and Local. I'm John Potter. Name of the show is called The Weekend on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Fox News coming up next.